Father, as we come and open up your word and unpack it now, this gloriously ancient word, it is the only thing that comes to pierce and change our hearts. And so I pray, come with might, with power, the presence of your Spirit, change us. Take us from one degree of glory to another, and let us leave forever changed by your presence and grace through your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this morning we're picking back up in our journey through the Ten Commandments, and we're going to be continuing that on through the season of Lent. One of the reasons why I've chosen that to begin this year and go through the season of Lent is because, friends, when we look at the Ten Commandments, what we find is God calling us to be a particular kind of people. It's exactly what he was doing with the Israelites, a people that were to be set apart from all the other peoples, that we would be a people who know his love, and not just know his love, but that we reflect his love with our lives. And as we look at this passages, that we would know the holiness of our God, because he is holy, and we need to be confronted with that. But that we see in the midst of it the holiness of God longing for us to be a holy people that reflect and shine his glory and his grace to this world. So wherever you're coming from this morning, whether you've been in the church for a long time, whether you're here because a friend brought you and you're just continuing to check out what Christianity is all about, what I hope that you hear this morning afresh is who this God is, because he comes to declare himself to us. And friends, let me say this. When we understand that, when we understand who he is, our lives are forever changed. Amen? For those of you whose lives have been, they truly are. And so this morning, we're going to unpack the fourth commandment. And I would say that it is one of the most misunderstood and mispracticed of all the commandments. What does it mean to honor the Sabbath? What is the Sabbath? What does that look like? We're going to unpack that this morning. But here's where we're going to go. Remember, if you were here when we started the journey on the Ten Commandments, we're looking at them asking three questions. What do they show us about God? What do they reveal about our own hearts, about us? And then, what is this new life that they call us into? How are we being led through it into a new way of living? That's what we're going to look at this morning. I want to reread that passage again from Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. I want you to listen because there's some very important nuances that we need to unpack in here. So the Lord spoke to the Israelites and said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is to be a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." One of the first things we see right off the bat is this. The Lord commanded the Sabbath day to be holy. To be holy means to be set apart, to be different, to look different. And that's what the Sabbath is to be. It's to be unlike any other day of the week. It's to be set apart as something that's radically different than our normal rhythm of work throughout the week. It's to be a day of rest. And we're going to unpack what that rest really looks like in a few minutes. But in one sense, at face value, what we find God saying in this commandment is this, that there's a pattern that we were created to follow, a pattern of work and rest. It's the pattern that we see God living out himself as he created in 6 days. And then it says that he rested on the seventh day. And what you and I need to understand is because God worked and then rested, that's the pattern of our lives as well. We, too, are to have a day of rest. But here's the question. Why would we think that our lives should be any different than the God who created us? But I know as well as you do, we don't. We think that we are different. We work ourselves to death. I think it's one of the greatest challenges of our culture today. I think it's one of the things that sets our culture today apart from any other culture that has gone before us. It's that we have become workaholics. We're constantly working. And one of the things that you and I have to understand as we look not only at this commandment, but at all of them is this. Things don't work as they ought to outside of God's created order. You see that? Things just don't work as they should if we live outside of God's created order. A few weeks ago, we looked at the second commandment where God said, you shall have no other gods before me. And we talked about that being a statement of fleeing from idols because we're all idolatrous people. We're prone to worship anything and everything. We worship other people. We make our relationships higher than our relationship with God. Now think about that. If things don't work as they ought to outside of God's created order, when you've got a relationship, whether it's a boyfriend or girlfriend or your spouse, that's lifted higher than the Lord in your life, guess what's going to happen? You're going to become too dependent on that person. Or as the phrase is, you're going to become codependent. And if they leave, you're undone. Things don't work as they ought to outside of God's created order. The same could be that said as of money. When money becomes an ultimate thing for us, and we worship that alone because we've got to have it, and it's taken away, we become undone because we made it an ultimate thing. You see, life doesn't work well outside of God's created order. And that's the same with work. When work is out of its proper place, it begins to rule over us. It begins to control our lives, and work consumes us. You see, I want you to hear this. Workaholism, which so many of us fall into, it's a violation of God's created order. When you work and work and work and work and work and you don't stop, what you've done is you've just violated God's created order. And when we do, there's always going to be a breakdown. And we often think the greatest breakdown is we are exhausted emotionally and physically, right? Because that happens when we overwork ourselves. But that's the least of our worries. The greater damage when we go outside of God's created order when it comes to work is our relationships suffer. Our homes suffer. Our spouse suffers. Our kids suffer. I cannot tell you how many people I've heard say this: all I'm trying to do is provide a good life for my family. Yeah, some of you have said that too. All I'm trying to do is to provide a good life for my family, right? Can I tell you the good life your kids really need and what they really want? They want you. They don't want all the stuff that you're working. They don't need the big house. They don't need the nice cars. They don't need all the stuff. They need you. That's where we are. That's where our culture today has gotten lopsided, because we don't understand what God's talking about here in this fourth commandment. So I was at a basketball game, a high school basketball game on Friday night, and there was a husband and wife sitting in front of us on the bleachers, and they were parents of a child. And in the middle of the game, their daughter, who is in high school, came running up to them. And she came running up and just sat in her dad's lap, and she put her arms around him and just stared into his eyes. Now, you think that is so sweet, and it was. But I know this about that family. They're very well off, and he has provided everything that child has ever wanted in her entire life. The brand new cars, the jewelry, the trips, everything. And what I saw in that moment as she looked into her daddy's eyes, I saw a child who said, "Dad, all I need is you. All I want is you. All the stuff doesn't matter, friends." That was a profound picture to me, that we, when we work ourselves to death, what our kids are really longing for is us. Now, I know I'm harping on parents. I'm about to tell you a story about myself. But listen, y'all, and I know there's some younger guys out there, some younger folks out here this morning. Please listen to me. I'm not a whole lot older than you, but I've been around the block a lot. And I know what it means. I know what it looks like to be a workaholic, because I was for a long time in my ministry. So hear me say this. Hear these words this morning, please. Don't let them just go in one ear and out the other. Your life is too valuable. Your spouse is too valuable. Your kids are too valuable. So here's the story. I'll never forget. Ann Claire was, I think, 6 years old at the time. We lived in Houston. It was a soccer game. And I was out there at her soccer game, and I was on my phone the entire time doing business. And I was on the phone talking. And there was Kimberly chasing our one-year-old and our three-year-old up and around the sidelines. That wasn't the first time it had happened. But I can assure you it was the last. Because when I got home that night, Kimberly let me have it. And if you know Kimberly, she's tiny. She's tiny. She's petite. But she can be a fireball. And I mean that in the greatest sense of the term. Because I needed that afternoon or that evening. The phone call I was on was important. But it was far less important than my family and being there with my daughter and Kimberly and my two other kids at that game. So let me ask you these two questions. Has your work become more important than your family? So if you're taking notes or you're not, get out your pen and make it personal. Has my work become more important than my family? Has my work become more important than my relationship with the Lord? Because that's a huge relationship, friends, that suffers when we make life all about our work. You see, as people who were made in the image of God, we were created to live with a certain rhythm of life, of work and rest, work and rest. That's the created order. That's one of the things we find in God saying, honor the Sabbath, work, and then rest. You see, the Israelites took this commandment, and instead of it becoming a gift of rest to them, it became an onerous burden to keep. You see, what they did is, in order to make sure that they and the others in the community were keeping the commandments, they came up with this long list of things that you do not do on the Sabbath. And so what this commandment became for them is this whole list of don'ts. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And they were trying to make sure they did the right thing and didn't do all the wrong things, right? Maybe some of you grew up in a family and it was like that. On Sunday, on the Sabbath day, don't watch TV, don't go to a restaurant, don't go kick the ball, certainly don't go watch the football game that night. Don't do any work. And it was all about don't. Don't do all these things. It's a way, it's what we find in the gospel reading this morning. When Jesus is there with some of his disciples and they're plucking grain in the field and the Pharisees see them. Let me reread the first two verses. So at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And his disciples were hungry and they began to pluck heads of grain to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful to do on the Sabbath. You see, in their eyes, just plucking the heads of grain was working. They're breaking the Sabbath. You see, what we find is the Pharisees were so busy trying to enforce this outward keeping of the Sabbath that they missed what it was about. They had this huge list of things you don't do, and they missed the deeper point of the Sabbath. Friends, we have to understand this. There's something far greater going on in this commandment than God just saying, have a day of rest. Yes, we need it. There are books written by doctors that talk about how our bodies have got to have a day of rest. We've got to pull back. But there's something far greater going on here, and I want to read this to you. You see, the Ten Commandments are found in two places in the Old Testament. The book of Exodus, which I just read from, and the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 5. And what we read when we read the fourth commandment in the book of Deuteronomy, there's a little different nuance, twist to it, toward the end of it. And I want to read that right now because it helps us understand the greater part of what this commandment's all about. The context is in God rescuing the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. And so here's what he said. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So where's this going? Yes, the Sabbath is a rest from our work, but I believe more importantly, it's a rest from the work underneath the work. Now, that may sound confusing right now, but let me explain. I think there's a more exhausting work that our lives are about than just our physical work during the work week. It's the work of trying to work out our salvation. It's the work of trying to prove ourselves before God. It's the work of trying to gain an identity, to try to gain a value and worth for our lives. Do you see that? That's the deeper work that this, I believe, is pointing to. And we're going to see why in just a minute in something profound that Jesus says. But let me say this first. I think one of the reasons why workaholism is so rampant in our culture today is because so many of us are trying to find our identity through it. We don't fully believe who we are in Christ. And so we pour ourselves into our work, thinking that through that we're going to gain an identity, that through that people are going to see us and give us the accolades that we're longing for. And through that, we gain our value and our worth. But what we find out is we've just become enslaved to our work and to other people. I believe the Sabbath is a declaration of our freedom. That's why in the passage in Deuteronomy, he speaks of it in the context of God rescuing the Israelites out of slavery. You see, that rescue is foreshadowing a far greater rescue. Yes, it happened. Yes, it was important. But it was pointing to God's ultimate rescue of us through the Lord Jesus Christ. God ultimately came to rescue us from our sin that we're held captive to. That's the ultimate rescue, friends. And going back to the passage in Matthew chapter 12 and that conversation with the Pharisees, what Jesus ultimately says is this: I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Right there, he defines what the Sabbath rest is all about. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. Do you know what we're really longing for? We're longing for rest to know who we are. And Jesus says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I am your rest. Cease from all your striving. Cease from trying to work so hard at gaining an identity, gaining a value, and gaining a worth. Stop. Because I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Only in me will you find rest. Do you see that? And this is where I believe we begin to see what does it look like for us to live in a new way as a result of understanding this commandment. You see, Jesus says this in the chapter before in Matthew 11. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will make you work harder and harder. That's how we live, isn't it? No. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He longs, friends, to give you rest. He longs right now, this moment, for you to come and lay your burdens down at his feet and find rest in him. Stop striving. It is a new day to find rest in our Savior. He goes on and he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The call in this for you and me is to stop striving and to come and find our rest in Christ and Christ alone. Do you see now how that is the work underneath the work? You see how glorious it is when we understand that Christ alone is our rest? We really are free from trying to strive and strive and strive to gain an identity for ourselves. There's a freedom there when we come and we rest in our Savior. Listen, when you find yourself so worn out emotionally and spiritually? Could it be that Jesus has not been your Sabbath rest? Could it be that you're working to strive for something that you will never find outside of Christ and Christ alone? You see, this commandment challenges us. It challenges us to take a day, to take 24 hours and rest. It challenges us to pull away from our emails for a day. Try it if you haven't. Stop the work. Stop the proposal that's due on Monday. Don't do it on Sunday. Get it done before. If you're a student, stop your schoolwork for 24 hours. Monday will come. You'll do fine on your test. I did at times. It was more of my lack of study than me trying to cram on a Sunday afternoon. Don't be legalistic, but come and rest in the Lord. Do you know what resting really does when we do, when we set aside 24 hours to rest in Him, to put aside our normal work? You know what it does? It causes us to be dependent, right? It causes us to see that we're not in control. God is. We're not the end all. We often think that we are. Well, I'm going to look at you and you're not. And I'm not either, but God is. And so when we come to give 24 hours, to give Him our rest, to rest from our labors, we're also coming to rest in Him. Delight in Him. Enjoy what He's done. Celebrate. Celebrate the grace. Celebrate the life that He's given you. Remember, we looked at a few weeks ago, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Let your soul bless Him. Think about what He's done for you. Give Him praise. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. Play. Have fun. And as you're doing it all, rest in Him. We need it. But it also shows that we're dependent upon Him. I think I may have shared with some of you last week, when I got back from winter conference, the words that the Lord gave me from that 4 days that I was in Dallas were these: bathed in the gospel and renewed in mission. Bathed in the gospel. I felt as I pulled back and rested and was refreshed and allowed the Lord to speak in His grace and His truth, I was being bathed in the gospel. When we take a Sabbath rest, friends, we are to bathe ourselves in the gospel, to receive it. And then what we find is we find ourselves renewed in mission. It puts life all back into perspective because we so easily get it out of whack. But when we bathe ourselves in the gospel, we're renewed in mission to love God and to give our lives away for those around us, to those around us. That's what it looks like, friends, to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Now, I want to end with this little application. So we're now in the season of Lent, and I think for many of you is my challenge as well, as we think about the season of Lent as a time that we give stuff up. You know, I'm sure many of you have said, okay, I'm giving this up, I'm giving this up, I'm giving this up. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why? Why are you giving something up? Have you really thought about that? It's an important question for us to ask. Otherwise, we're just going to do something legalistically. So here's what I want to read, this small quote. I received a book the other day on Lent, a devotional during the season of Lent, and it's called 40 Days of Decrease by Alicia Britt Cole. And here's what she wrote. God seems more interested in what we're becoming than what we're giving up. See that? God's more interested in what you and I are becoming than what we're giving up. It's less about the sacrifice of stuff and more about the surrender of our souls. Lent in kind is less about well-mannered denials and more about thinning our lives in order to thicken our communion with God. Isn't that beautiful? We give up, we let things go in our lives so that we can thicken our communion with God, because there are things that get in the way with it. You see, it's not into saying, okay, I did it these 40 days, I gave it up, pat myself on the back. No, it's that through it, we are deepening our communion with the Lord. You see, I believe that the Lord is more interested as we observe the Sabbath that we are becoming worshipers. That's what he longs for you and me, that we are becoming greater and greater worshipers of the Most High God who gave his life for us. Friends, that's what it's about. And so as we journey through this season of Lent, I would gather for many of you, this whole idea of a Sabbath rest is foreign. Begin to submit yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to give my life. I want to do this. Give me your grace and strength and see what he does. He will turn your heart into a glorious worshiper of him. And you will find that everything else begins to fall into perspective as we first surrender and submit our lives to our Savior. Father, we submit this to you through your grace, through the gift of your Son, our Savior. And we ask for strength through your Spirit to follow. In Christ's name, amen.